Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Moruti Likuluane Dumela.
Dumela ntate, ngwaga o mošwa, even though the year has already started. Return, that a blessing to be speaking to you.
No, blessings, man. I think the last time I spoke to you, Ibile, President Bogo was not president at the time.
Oh, yes. We're in a completely new dispensation.
Completely new dispensation, a new leader, new nation, and it's a new year, eh?
It's a new year indeed, and the message of the Lord still endure forever.
Radumela Muruti. Now, we're going to be speaking to you the next couple of days about the one of the fundamental beliefs of the Adventist Church, marriage and the family. And, we understand that because God is a relational God and He created humanity for relationships too. He established the first marriage with Adam and Eve, blessed them to be fruitful and multiply, according to Genesis 1:28. And then over the next couple of days, we're going to be discussing the importance of marriage and the family in the church and society as a whole. So let's start with first things first. What was God's intention for the family?
All right. Thanks for that question. I always say that the best starting point on issues of creation is recognizing that everything was made to glorify God. Mm. When you look at Revelation 4 verse 11 as an example, the Bible says, God is worthy to receive glory and power and honor because He has created all things, and for His pleasure they were created. So when you look at marriage and family in the context of Genesis chapter 1, you see something that was created by God to glorify God. So that is maybe the first thing to note. And I love that you've mentioned Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, mm-hmm. along with other verses which point to us in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, that in a perfect world without sin, God created or set up the institution of family and marriage for the good and for the well-being of man. So you find, for example, chapter 2, verse 18, it is God who says, in a perfect world, it's not good for a man to be alone. Going back to your issue of how we are created to be relational beings, and God, mm-hmm. verse 22, brings the woman to the man, and He says, a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, showing that this thing was created by God for the good and for the well-being of the human family as a whole. And in punctuating the creation week, God closes by declaring that it is very good. So this is something that is for our good as well. And lastly, beyond that, in Ephesians 5:25, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, where God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So the family relations are meant to reflect in a certain way the love of God, the goodness of God, and His holiness. So I believe bringing all of that together, we can say that God's intention in creating family was to glorify Him and also for the good and for the well-being of human beings.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, what is the importance then of a family relationship?
That's a very important question. Now, when you look at a family, and especially the family setup, I always love one illustration that is used that says the family is the building block of society. Families are those individual threads in a fabric that hold everything together. So a society is what it is because of the state or condition of its families. So therefore, the family is a very important and a critical thing because it makes or breaks society as a whole. And I want to particularly zoom in on the issue of Christ-centered family, because there are all kinds of families, especially in the world that we are living in. There's so much confusion out there about what constitutes a family. But when you look at God's original design, we see that God had a beautiful plan designed and authored by Him so that the society and the human race as a whole can enjoy the fruits and the benefits of this thing. And also to know that, where people have dysfunctional families or come from dysfunctional backgrounds, where the family relations are not stable or patterned after what God originally intended, there's so much that happens, not just at family level, but even at national level. I think wherever you are, you may be in Botswana or South Africa, you sometimes read the headlines, shocking things that happen. And some people are byproducts of dysfunctional backgrounds, and the nation suffers as a whole. So I think it's the key issue, Ahore. The family is the building block of society, and that's why it's so critical.
Indeed, very, very important. The family is indeed the building block of society. Now, what does society then miss out of the absence of family?
You know, in the absence of family, we are actually a dying race, because there's so much that God had in store for us in the family relation. Like, for example, if you throw out husband and wife or parents in a marital context, especially as the Bible defines, you have a society that has very confused and mixed up family relations, and many times the children suffer more than anyone in that context. So, but by neglecting or ignoring God's original design, we actually deviate and find ourselves going to ruin. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 29:18, says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish or cast off restraint." Of course, we know when we read that verse, it's not talking about vision or foresight, but it's talking about reference to the prophetic word of God. So where people do not regard God's blueprint or plan for humanity, things go to ruin. And I think we don't need to get into many examples. We have seen enough in our lifetimes, so in the news and in the documentaries that are there, about what happens when the society, even people today who don't believe in God, are starting to say, you know, let's stop and rethink family, because we are seeing so much that's going wrong because of our neglect of what they call the traditional family, which is actually borrowed from God's original design of family.
Now, I want to let you go, because this was just a normal introductory you know, conversation. But is family made up of strictly people with the same genetic makeup or DNA?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I'm going to just throw something in that perhaps is controversial, but should not be, in that when we look at human beings as a whole, we are actually one family. Because if you accept the Bible as an authoritative record and inspired revelation of God's will and our history as a people, we all descend from Adam and Eve. We may maybe define the degree to which we are related, but we are all one family. In fact, the Bible actually says in Acts 17:26 that Christ has made of all nations of men one blood. So we are one people. And further, just to add on that, one of the most beautiful scenes you find in the Bible in John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, when Christ is being crucified, we see him doing something very profound as he's dying, in that he gives his mother to John to be adopted as his mother. And he says the word, "Woman, behold your son." And he turns to his disciples and says, "Behold your mother." And the Bible tells us, from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home and cared for her as his own mother. So we learn from that our family does not only consist of people who are your immediate relatives in terms of biological ties, as in your parents, your siblings. We're actually one family. And whenever you meet someone, in fact, this might surprise people, but I'm actually engaging in a conversation with my distant relative in South Africa as we speak right now. Family has a much broader definition than just immediate genetics or DNA, but we are all one family in Adam and in Christ.
Now, when we talk of family, that component we call a family, you know, it's a unit, of course. And that unit has got members. And you've already touched on that. But when we talk about family, we always think about mom, dad, children. Can it be mom children? Can it be dad children? Is that, can it be just myself and siblings? Can it be just me, etc.? How do we get to how do we actually define it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for that. And I think what I appreciate is what you're presenting is a holistic view of the family setup, because we have to accept that we live in a world that has a certain reality in the context of the great controversy and the reality of sin. That is to say, for example, one of the sad realities of life is that we are subject to death, and it can happen in some settings that you find that a family consists of just a father and the children. It is still a family in the fullest sense and in the truest sense. Sometimes you may find that someone is raising children on their own. There are so many different dynamics. The other parent has left and all kinds of things. That unit is still a family. And I love the one that you mentioned at the end to say that maybe you are just alone in your own space, and you can actually also be, because you can also have individuals that you live with immediately with you and even by proxy that are part of your life. And that is also a family in a unique sense. So there's need for us to look at family in its holistic sense, but we shouldn't also, like you're saying, have a myopic view that looks only, say, okay, if it's only husband, wife, and children, this is a family. Where a mother is living or raising her children alone, that is not a family. No, no, that's not the case. The family contexts differ, but they all live or exist for the same purpose of glorifying God and reflecting His love and His holiness and His beauty.
Well, beautiful, beautiful stuff there. You know, Donald Trump became a president of the United States yesterday.
Yes,
and
sir.
He's a big, big, big proponent of a family. During his campaign, his children were involved, his entire family, and of course, extended family members, etc. And it comes yesterday, and it makes a certain proclamations, and he deals with certain things, and he says, from today onwards, a man and a woman is going to be the only genders, decided by the United States. And of course, in Namibia, a couple of weeks ago, Namibia has also declared that it will now nullify families between a male and a male. Isn't that a family also?
Now, that one is very clear from the scripture, because when we look at our identity as a people, we go back to our source, and that is God. And Christ is very clear that in the beginning, He made male and female. And I think this is one thing that I would wish would be a subject of a longer discussion another time, to help people understand that God, in His design, made us men and women. And what I am is not determined by what I feel or how I'm feeling at that time, but rather by what God intended for me to be. So I think it's something that is very, I actually saw that in the news. I was amazed that he could be so bold in an era that there's so much confusion on the subject, but he took such a bold stand. But I think what he's saying is not anything new. The Bible, and even Jesus Christ himself, while he was on earth, declared that to clarify what was his original design and intent. And anything that deviates from that is actually a distortion of God's original plan. And it is actually something that leads to unfortunate and tragic situations, because once we deviate from the manufacturer's design, we start to misuse, abuse, and consequences will follow in society as a whole. Mm-hmm. So I think we do well to align with our makers, manual and design for us, and find meaning or purpose in that. And even where we find ourselves maybe struggling with certain feelings, or struggling with issues of gender identity, I believe we need to go back to our source and have God to be the one to intervene and help us to realign, because we can only enjoy the fullness of life as we are in line with the specs that He has set out for us as our Maker and our Redeemer.
Beautiful stuff indeed. Well, Pastor, we're going to be continuing talking about this subject. And today was a beautiful start. Thank you so, so much for clarifying these for us. We're going to be talking to you again tomorrow at the same time, same place.
Thank you so much. God bless you and all our listeners as well.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.